Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
There are times from a pastor's heart that we need to be teaching we need to be taught. We are Christian people, and being discipled means that you are receiving direction, and you receive direction through teaching. Now, it comes several ways. It comes sometimes directly from the Holy Spirit. He's called our teacher, revealer of truth, and you can read Scripture, and the Holy Spirit reveals things. Anybody ever done that? You're just reading Scripture, like, wow, I never saw that before. Just revelation knowledge that comes because the Holy Spirit taught you something right when you were reading. Well, there are other times that teaching comes from somebody speaking the word into you, just sitting around a table, maybe visiting with friends, and all of a sudden they say something like, I never knew that before, and you were taught something. So you received that, and that knowledge came about. There are other times that you are watching something on television, or you are not in a group of people, but you're receiving from input from an outward source. We were talking about that this week. We are at an all-time high of being taught by media. Media is teaching us things, and my question is, what is it teaching us? And so I want you to be thinking about that, because a lot of times we'll come to church and we're expected to be motivated. Now, know this, church is to motivate you. But you know, I can get just as motivated by hearing a good teaching, and I receive that and I apply it to my life, and that's motivation for me. But a lot of people will come to church, and I'm just kind of setting up today. A lot of times people come to church and they weren't motivated. Well, that was a boring service. Well, that's not the person speaking's fault, that's yours. Because you're going to get motivated on what you receive. And if you can only receive by being entertained, then you are only a media person. See, because spectators watch and take no part in what's going on. They leave the game and they talk about how everybody else messed up or what they didn't do wrong. And that is what churches became to a lot of people. It's just became a spectator sport. They come to church, and boy, if the pastor motivated them or did something that they liked, it was good. If we have enough media that was played on the screen, oh, that was good. What I believe is we have a church full of some maturity here that can receive without having to be entertained. And there are times that if I just come in here and teach every week, it's not going to be good. But there are times I've got to teach as a pastor from a pastor's heart, and there are times that I've got to preach, and hopefully you get a little bit of both today. But I really want to teach you something today. Can we prepare our hearts for that this morning? Prepare our hearts for something that God has for us today, and let it speak to us directly from the Word. This is not Ashley's opinion. This is the Word of God. Mark chapter 7, if you haven't found it, give up. Verse 1. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. There's one thing about teachers that you can always know. They're always going to be teaching. That's just it. I mean, a teacher always is going to have a lesson to give and always something that you need to learn from them. One day, some Pharisees and what? Teachers. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Everybody say traditions. Their ancient traditions required them to cup their hands and have water poured over their hands. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition?" they eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony. Jesus replied, "You hypocrites." He was being kind of bold there, wasn't he? I just can't imagine coming up and in the conversation, somebody asked me a question and I call him a hypocrite. I mean, it just wouldn't probably set the tone, but this is Jesus, not me. And he was able to do this and they still heard what he said. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote. Now he just called him a hypocrite and said, okay, now there's a prophecy about you. And here it is. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you. I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said. Try to understand. Try to receive. Try to get my teaching. That's what he's saying here. Try to get what I'm saying here. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes from your heart. Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd. And his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable that he had just used. Don't you understand either, he said. Can't you see that the food you put into your body can't defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart. It only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, it's what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within, and they are what defile you. Let's pray. Father, I ask today that your word would come alive for us as we study it, as we are taught, as we receive what you have, just as Jesus was teaching, let us be the students of Jesus' words today. And I thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Job 17:9, the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Here's what I was doing this week. I was just really meditating this verse. And I took the word clean hands, and I started really studying it. And I thought, I got to learn more about clean hands, because if we're going to really explode this vision in our hearts for this year, I got to know what some of the Bible teachings are on clean hands. And I found this and I thought, wow, how profound. This is our vision for this year. Those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. So what do we need to know about clean hands? The Bible just talking about them here. Jesus' disciples. There was a Jewish tradition that had to do with washing of hands. And so I want to break this down, study it, and find out how we can apply this to our life, because our vision for this year is for us to get stronger and stronger. Anybody with me? Stronger and stronger. That's where we're going. And we're looking for spiritual strength, and we're looking to apply the Word of God to our lives, and we're to leave daily growing into a different place than we were yesterday. That's where we want to be. A man was watching the news one night. When it was reported that a car was going the wrong direction on the freeway. The man knew his wife was on the freeway and became very concerned, so he called her on the cell phone. She answered and he said, "Dear, there's one car going in the wrong direction on the freeway." She exclaimed, "One car? There's hundreds of them." Well, at least she found her car. I heard a story last night, and I wouldn't tell this about anybody, but this is my mom. My mom told me years ago that it was very, very important that when she started acting like her parents, that I let her know. It's been a few years, and we sat down, and I said, Mom, remember when you had that talk with me? Well, I get her, she gives me a call last night, and she goes, I'm just glad we're on the road headed home. I said, why? And she goes, we couldn't find our car. I thought somebody stole it. There's a panic button on your deal, you know? And my stepdad, he can't hear real well. So he goes out and he's pushing the panic button on the remote control and he sees car lights flashing. He goes, oh, there's our car. Well, there's another car backing out. I'm just, Mom, I'm glad you found your car. If you ever call me and say there's hundreds of cars going the wrong direction, that was for her today. This story actually relates to a principle that is not really that uncommon. People, in spite of all evidence to the contrary, believe that they are absolutely correct regardless of what circumstance they find themselves in. I continually talk to people who find themselves in the middle of a crisis that has been repeated over and over and over again, and they'll be talking to me about it, and just like, it's always somebody else's situation, always somebody else's fault, but they're the common denominator in the story every time. Come on, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. They're just always right. Those other cars on the freeway are the ones that are wrong. Hundreds of them go in the wrong direction. It couldn't possibly be me. See, and in the process, what happens in life is we lose our focus and our sense of why we do what we do. It's more important oftentimes that we are seen as correct by everybody else than it is to be right in God's eyes. Let me say that again, because that was a profound statement that nobody even, their eyes didn't even go, wow, nothing. It's more important that we are seen as right in everybody else's eyes than being right according to the Word of God. And I want to be careful that we're not so caught up, and it was already mentioned this morning, that we're not so caught up on pride that we miss the things of God. So we got to, there's dying to yourself that's got to take place. In this passage we just read, Jesus is dealing with a very religious people who allowed their traditions to replace the authority of the Word. Are you seeing that as we read that today? They allowed their traditions to be bigger than God's Word. And see, as Jesus went on teaching, he often ran into trouble with the religious leaders and teachers of religious law over him not keeping the tradition. You read this all through the New Testament. Jesus is always in a situation where somebody's on his case because he's not keeping the tradition of the law, the Jewish law. In this passage, Jesus has an encounter here with a group of Pharisees and teachers. They have come from Jerusalem, and what they came for was to find fault in him. I know people who come to church just waiting to find fault in it. I know people who just wait at the table at the break room to find fault in some Christian's theology. They're just waiting to pounce on you. Well, that's what they were doing here to Jesus. When they arrived and they began to watch Jesus, it doesn't take them long to find something to complain about. You know, if you're looking for something to complain about, it'll take you long and you find it. You can. I mean, in no time, you can find. If you're looking for complaining, you can find it just like that. It don't take long. It don't take long. These men, they see the disciples of Jesus eating food and noticed they had not done the ceremonial washing of hands. And what happens? They're offended. They're offended. They're frustrated. They attack Jesus over the issue, but he turns the table on them. See, they think the issue is one of clean hands, but Jesus shows them that the real issue is about having a clean heart. See, it's not about the ceremony. It's about the relationship. Jesus is not impressed with religious ritual or tradition. And I think that 12 years in Christian Ministries Church, I mean, let's think about this. 12 years into this vision, we have developed some traditions. Really, we have. And you don't think that. Go to another church and find all the things they're doing and go, in your mind, that was wrong. They shouldn't have done that. You know just the difference between here and our church in Hot Springs? If you will go down there, it's amazing to me how they are wrong in some areas and we are right. I said that for our guest today. But they'll come here and there'll be some things, oh, that was a little different. I wonder why they do it different there. I wonder why. Traditions develop. Wherever you are, you'll see that start happening. And you'll see it start happening. And then before long, if you're not careful, that tradition becomes something you see as biblical. And then you can't even be associated with church without it. Boy, I spend a lot of time with Leaders Academy on this topic. Here's what I love about Christian ministries. We have different backgrounds. I mean, really, there are so many different backgrounds here in this church. It's amazing. How many of y'all, let's just do this for fun. How many of y'all were raised Catholic? Okay, we got Catholic background. How many this morning were raised Baptist? Yeah, many people say there's more Baptist people in the world. I mean, there's more people in the world than there are Baptists. That's one of Jared Doherty's jokes. So more people in the world than Baptists. That don't make sense. Anyway, Baptist. All right, how many Methodists we got? Got some Methodists, raised Methodists. Church of Christ. Got a few Church of Christ. Assemblies of God. How many Assemblies of God? Just about, yep, there we go. How many were raised with no church at all? Didn't go to church growing up. Okay, good. I mean, not good. I'm glad you're in church now. Lutheran. How many Lutheran we got? Lutheran background. Get this. How many Mormon background we got? Got Mormon background. What else? Have I missed something? What? Nazarene. Pentecostal. Pentecostal holiness. Community church. Independent. Jewish. Here's the deal. Almost every one of them, a hand was raised. I have been in enough churches to know if you're in a Baptist church and you have those hands raised, you're going to have very few that weren't associated with just Baptist. Now, I'm not here to cut down another denomination. That's not my heart. What I'm saying is you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful that when you come into this church or a church other than the way you were raised, that you don't get in your mind they are wrong and the way we did it was right. I've had this conversation 100 times in the last 12 years. Well, why do you do that? What about this? What about that? What about that? What I want to do is I want to say, okay, everything that we're talking about, we got to go back and talk about it here. Now, here's what's really cool. Jesus, as he is talking, get this, he is talking and speaking the word. Because as we read the word, we're reading what he said. So he's speaking the word as he's talking. And they're hearing the word, and what do? They disagree with the word. Anytime you get caught up on being against a tradition or being for a tradition, you got to be really careful that you don't stand on that so hard, because Jesus said you don't want to get caught up on those things. He was all the time destroying the traditions, and he wasn't putting them down or lifting them up. He was just saying, guys, it's not about that. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. And so here's my always response when people have a problem with the way we're doing something. What's the heart? When they have a problem with the teacher at the school because of something the teacher did. They have a problem with something that the worship team did, or somebody on the worship team has a problem with what the leader did, or somebody has a problem with kids' church, or somebody has a problem with where we're parking now and not parking, or someone has a problem with kids, and someone has a problem with the way they were treated. And the way, here's my, every time, what's the heart? What's the heart? The method may have been messed up, or it may have just been different, but what is the heart? when you're sitting around your break room and someone says something and you know it's wrong. Ask this question: what's their heart? What's their heart? People mess up all the time. But what Jesus was saying, I'd talk to you more about this tradition if your heart was right, but Jesus knows all things, and he knew that they come to find problem with him. That's the whole reason they were there. I can tell you, I have seen people come to this church looking for fault in it. And when I know that, I know their heart. And you'd be best just to go find another church if your heart's not going to be right. So let's get the heart right, and then we can talk about the method. But a lot of people want to talk about the method before they talk about the heart. Are you hearing the teaching today? Let's get our hearts right. Let's get our hearts right. Because if our heart's right, then everything else can take place and it'll be all right. Jesus is talking about the traditions of men. Five times in this passage, Jesus made reference to a tradition. Let me say, on one hand, many churches, quote churches, because it doesn't matter which one, think that anything new is evil. Come on, anybody been there? Anything new is evil. But on the other hand, many think that everything should be new and that anything the church has ever done is old and outdated and ineffective. Which ditch is Christian Ministries in? Check your heart. Because, see, everybody's going to have a different opinion there, just like they do about the temperature of the room. And I think it's really hot right here. But some people think it's really cold. So some people, well, Angela, are you perfect right now? Feel good. That means it's hot. Come on, Ben. You know. To those who argue that tradition alone can kill a church, remember, the second time you do anything, it becomes a tradition. I always got a kick out of people who would say our first annual. You can't say your first annual. You can say your second annual. But your first annual, it doesn't work. How did Jesus deal with tradition? See, he didn't reject all tradition. The word tradition comes from a word that means giving over or handed down. Giving over or handed down. A way of doing things again and again. Repetitious. There's a lot of, everybody understands what tradition means. It refers to teaching that has been handed down in word or in action. You know, there's a lot of tradition in our government. And we look at it as tradition because it's been handed down. But if you study what goes on in our government a lot of times, you will see that the reason we're doing it is because it's handed down from right here. The question is, what has it been handed down from? What has it been handed down from? You got to know that answer. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." Hold true, hold firm, stand firm on the traditions you were taught. So in one sense, we got to be thankful for what has been handed down to us. I praise the Lord for people who hand copied the Bible. People talk about, well, what makes that the most credible book in all of history? It has more copies that have been handwritten, that have been passed down to us, than any other book in all of history. 26,000 passed down. Original manuscripts, handwritten. From original. Only a few years removed from the original. It's amazing how credible the Bible is. It's amazing. There's only one other book that comes close, and that other book is 900 copies. Plato has like 20-some copies, and we look at him like he's the authority. The Word of God has 26,000. It's the most credible book in all of history, but yet it's the one we don't look to. Most credible book in all history. See, I'm thankful that it was handed down. How many of y'all are? I mean, my life's different because it was handed down. So I want to make sure that I get across both sides of my point today. Tradition is very important. Jesus had a tradition in Luke 4:16. He went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue as was his custom or as was his tradition. See, he did not reject tradition. What he rejected was traditionalism. Do you know the difference there? Tradition and traditionalism. Here's the difference. Traditionalism is when the passage that we're trying, or the passing down, whatever it is we're passing down, becomes the authority over the word. Well, we have to do that. Why do you have to do it? When the passage speaks of unclean hands, let's get into some of that just briefly this morning. It had nothing to do with hygiene. Now, some of you moms out there, young person, listen, this is why I tell you to wash your hands. No, we're not under ceremonial law. Jesus came and abolished ceremonial law. He didn't abolish moral law, but Old Testament teachings was Jewish law. There was a ceremony of the hand washing that was very important. And it wasn't to get your hands clean. The purpose of it was to show that you had a right heart. That's the ceremonial symbolicness of the washing of hands. Let's go back to our vision. Those with clean hands. Isn't that cool when you think about that? Those with clean hands. Well, what's that mean? Those with the right heart are going to go stronger and stronger. See, we're going to move forward and grow stronger and stronger. If you don't have the right heart this morning, you don't have a chance of getting stronger. I mean, it just makes sense when you start studying scripture. Like, wow, that just... God says Jesus rejected it. He explains the washing hands, the priest, that the priest added to the people more and more and more rules. They just kept doing it. And Jesus refused to be bound by man-made rules and rituals. He didn't teach his disciples to observe them, and he didn't teach us to. And it made the Pharisees mad. It amazes me when you have a non-denominational church, how denominational churches get mad. I've seen it. I've talked to non-denominational pastors. We're not against denomination, but denomination is oftentimes against us. We all came from a denomination. Praise God for them. I'm thankful for the use of what God did in the denominational church in my life, in my marriage for years. It was messed up, and a lot of the teachings that we got were foundational in us getting healed. So I'm grateful. But guys, listen, don't get caught up on tradition. Get caught up on the Word of God. See, the Word of God needs to make the difference in our life. Matthew 23, verse 26. Traditionalism can lead to hypocrisy. The Greek word of farce, I mean, that it talks about here, that you, in verse 7, now, I'm going to get to Matthew, but in Mark 7:7, the worship is a farce. That Greek word means it's pretending. Another way to look at it is you're acting. I don't want to come to church and act. I don't want to be in God's presence and act like I'm in right, doing the right thing. What causes us to do that is to get caught up on having to do it ritualistically instead of getting to do it from your heart. So there's a difference. The worst form of hypocrisy, in my opinion, is religious hypocrisy. And I see it all the time. Matthew 23:26. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous. On the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Here's the thing I'm wanting to teach today. I don't want us. And I'm not talking Christian ministries. I'm talking the individual lives of everyone here. I don't want us to get cleaned up on the outside and not be genuine on the inside. See, I want us to be the real deal. That's just me. Traditionalism, just doing things because, well, this is just what we're supposed to do. And so we put on this act and we just come to church. Why? Because mom made us. Young people, because mom drug us here. I have to be here because I'm a leader and I have to be here 80% of the time. Your heart's wrong. 80%, and I just had a new members dinner. We talked about this. 80% attendance in church is a horrible line to stand on. That's a horrible line to stand on. Why would you stand? Go find any job in the country and tell them, I'm going to be here at least 80% of the time. I promise you I will. You'd be fired tomorrow. But yet, church isn't mandatory. Now, I understand there are times that you've got to be gone. I understand there are vacation, there are family situations, and there is work. I understand that. But you don't ever have to be gone in the day of media we live in. You don't ever have to be gone. And you're only gone when you have to be because you ought to have a desire. Well, a lot of people look at church as ritualistic. Come on, in our society they do. They think they've done their duty by coming to church. Here's the thing, I'm caught up on church attendance, but I'm more caught up on your heart. And when your heart starts showing that you're right, church attendance is a want to, not a have to. Traditionalism leads to fractured relationships. You got to know that. Verse 9, Jesus said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold to your own tradition. Moses gave you the law from God, honor your father and mother. And he starts talking about that right there. And I was reading that and I had to do a little deeper study because in the King James, and I don't know how many King James people we got out. We got some King James Bibles. Yeah, good. Okay. Some of you that are reading the King James and you appreciate the King James and you were raised on the King James. I mean, my mama was talking about this in chapel at CMA when she did it on Friday. She said, I was raised only with a King James Bible. So having a King James Bible only when I was raised, the new editions weren't out. I didn't have that option. So she was raised with the King James Bible. Well, she did a lot of scripture memorization when she was young. So, I mean, when she did that, when she hears scripture quoted, she's like, that's not what it says. But in her mind, she's got to go back to the King James because that's how she memorized it. And so she'll find herself reading the King James because that's what she was raised with. My girls raised with NLT, they're going to probably find themselves being drawn to the NLT. Josh was raised with American Standard Version. He's going to find himself in the ASV all the time because that's where he memorized. See, what are you following what I'm saying? And so everybody's wrong except for you. But here's what I was doing. I try to get a well-rounded understanding of the scripture because as you read it, I know there are people out here that aren't reading from the NLT, which is what I'm reading from. So once again, I'm just teaching today. Y'all still with me? Yeah. Hey, we're just teaching today. I was looking at the New King James and the King James Version, and the word in there that I was reading in verses 9 and 13, I saw the word Corban. I don't know if anybody has a King James Version, but if you'll do, you'll find the word Corban. I believe it's in verse 11. It says, but you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, and uses the word Corban in there in the King James. Well, I had to find, what is Corban? Well, it explains it right here in verse 11. It says, you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you. I have vowed to give God what I would have given to you. Well, I look up this Corban and I find out what it means in the Greek. Let me just talk about this for a second. The leaders of the Jewish community were criticizing the Lord's disciples. And actually directly Christ himself because he was the teacher. You know, when you start criticizing a student and you're the teacher standing there, really you're sitting there going, ooh. And if you're the student, you're going, that's what they told me. It's what they taught me. So they're criticizing actually Jesus. And the idea of unwashed hands and the ceremonial cleansing that they were talking about. See, this attitude and activity was not a part of Moses' law. It was strictly a human tradition. So I understand there are ceremonial laws that are done away with, but if you'll look in Old Testament, actually the washing of hands is not even a ceremonial Old Testament law. Now I'm getting real deep on you. All it was a Jewish custom. That's all it was. So it's not even a ceremonial law. Some of y'all were thinking, I'm going to get pastor on this. It's not even a ceremonial law. So it had nothing to do with right standing with God. It was just a Jewish tradition. See, this attitude and activity wasn't a part of Moses' law. When therefore the Pharisees and scribes noted that the Savior's disciples were not conforming to this tradition that was set up by the priest, they felt like they had an indictment against Christ and his followers. They were always trying to get him. You got anybody in your life who's always just trying to get you? I do. Our relatives even. They're always trying to just prove me wrong. Well, that didn't work for you, did it? What do you think of that? That didn't work. They're just always wanting to come against. Why? Once again, because their heart was wrong and they were caught up on ceremonial or custom that weren't making a difference in where your standing was. The law of Moses required the Hebrew people to honor their parents. Now that is moral law. Should we believe that? Parents, help me out. Should kids honor and respect and obey their parents? Okay, parents don't say anything. Young people, should kids honor and respect their parents? Look at your parent. What? That wasn't near as loud. Young people, this is still mandated today by the word. Should you honor and respect your parents? Good. Good. You're supposed to do that, right? Everybody gets that. The law of Moses said it. We knew that it was a law that was set up because it was a moral law. It was one of the Ten Commandments. And the term honor did not suggest just mere lip service. And we get that a lot, don't we, parents? Will you do that? There's nothing right about your heart when you do that. All right, I need you to go do the... Okay. Come on, pick your step up. I'm going as fast as I can. You're only doing it because you have to. I know. Mom, I know. Moses told me I had to. No, God told you had to, and you need to get a right heart. But a lot of young people just give lip service. I mean, come on, everybody says, I agree with that. Well, this was exactly right here what he's talking about. Honor did not suggest mere lip service. It included the idea of caring for their parents in their time of need. Some of the Jews had concocted a scheme to avoid parental responsibility. They would designate certain of their financial resources and they would call it Corban. Corban just meant, it was a Greek word, and it was related to the term signifying the temple treasury. It was a place to hide funds so you didn't have to take care of your parents. People are using God all the time to get out of what they're supposed to do. I can't do that because God said, young people, I can't do that because God, and their heart isn't right. They're just doing it because it's what they see as, I have to do that. Know this, if your heart is caught up on a bunch of have-tos, then you've got the wrong heart. You need to have a heart change. There needs to be a heart change. When Jesus dealt with people, he pointed out the heart issue that led to outward issues. The heart issue is the problem with people. Sin is an issue of the heart. Jesus was not talking about being healthy, washing your hands. He was talking about being holy. There's a difference. Today, marriage is not only a process of getting to know your spouse. I mean, it's not. Well, let's get married and figure out who each other is. That's not what marriage. It's also a process of getting to know yourself. And the Bible refers to marriage in relationship with the church and Christ. And I was thinking about this. Just a lot about marriage and stuff it seems like I've been talking about and dealing with lately. And I was talking about the process of getting to know your spouse. And it's not just about, how many people got married here that's less than 5 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we got some less than 5 years. Tim, you're lying. You've been married a lot longer than that, I know. It just feels like it because it's all fresh and new every day. I got you. Marriage is not only a process of getting to know your spouse, it's a process of you really getting to know you. And getting lined up with the church is a marriage. And getting lined up with the church and then how you relate to this world is tough because it makes you realize a lot of stuff about yourself. A lot of stuff. See, I had no idea how selfish I really was until I had another person to consider. And I can say whatever I want because my wife is not here today. So, and I'm going to edit this part out of the CD. That wouldn't do me any good because you all will be on the phone with her quicker than I will. I really had no idea how selfish I was until I had another person to consider. I mean, just the way you turn the toilet paper, the toothpaste, how you squeeze it. Why would anyone squeeze toothpaste from the middle? I just how important the bed getting made is to her. That's so selfish. The idea that I live in this house and I ought to be able to throw the clothes right by the hamper and not in it. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Dishes can be done once a week instead of after every meal. So there's a lot of different things that she was wrong on. And then you end up having a discussion about it. Anybody had a discussion about the clothes? Now, I don't want to cause any fights this morning, but all you that are 5 years and under married, if you haven't had one of these yet, it's because you're still in the grace mode. I'm still giving them grace. It's going to end very quickly. And then you're in a discussion about the clothes, the toothpaste, the toilet. Lots of things about the toilet you can get in this situation. And you'll have this thought go through your head, men. She makes me so angry. Ladies, you'll have this thought. Let me just challenge you with something. Is it really anger? Or is it that you've just been challenged to look deeper within yourself? Today, here's my prayer. I pray that as I'm talking about handing things down, that you'll look deeper in yourself. Christ came not to establish a bunch of laws. He came to make a change in a heart. That's what he came to do. He came to change your heart. And your traditions, the way you used to do it, the way all of this, the ceremonial cleaning of hands, we get so caught up on that, we miss having the right heart. In your marriage, if you get so caught up with the clothes by the hamper, you're going to miss the heart of the relationship of the marriage. And a lot of people allow their traditions, their backgrounds, their upbringing to become, what I want to see is I want to see in a marriage someone just continually picking up the clothes off the floor, right? And that's what I want to see. Pick them up, they're right there. At least there wasn't any other room. They're right there. Why can't you just right there? I'm just about 4 inches further. And we get caught up on this big argument about where the clothes go. And what happens is the devil uses that as a tool. It's just a tool. And then we miss the heart of the marriage. because we're so caught up in what they're doing and what they said and the way they were brought up, and your mama was wrong and your daddy was, and we get so caught up on all of this and we miss the heart of the relationship. See, we get so caught. If you're going to be associated with the things of God, you better be very careful not to get caught up on all the traditions, and this is the way it has to be, and know the heart. Know the heart of the situation. This church never has an intent to be rude or mean to anyone. We have a heart to make disciples. Our heart's not. I know everybody on our staff, and they are sold out to making everything happen according to the Word of God to the best of their ability. That's their heart. Josh just walking across campus yesterday, and he's carrying his Bible and his headphones and a book, and he's walking. And what are you doing? He goes, I'm studying. Well, here's the thing. I didn't just see that yesterday. That's what I see in Josh every day. I walk down to the school and I see teachers. I see people pouring into the heart of our kids with the love. They don't have to be. Their heart is there. Wednesday nights, we have church. We have so many. We have 40-some people down in this lower building every Wednesday night. What's going on down there? We got a bunch of staff down there because we had a heart for people. We have a nursery. Oh, no, we don't yet, but we're going to. And I've already got 3 people come up and said, when the nursery gets here, I'm there. We got a heart for young people, but right now we got to depend on kids being taken out by parents. So right there, there's a season. Don't get caught up. Well, that's not the way we do it down at the other church. Well, go to the other church then because your heart's wrong. I'm just telling you, if you get caught up on the ritual, the traditions, and you don't get caught up on the Word of God, you got to better change your heart. Are y'all getting anything from this today? It's a heart condition. It's a heart condition.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.